Thank you for joining the Do You Want to Be Made Whole podcast. Today's podcast is dealing with overcoming divorce. Statistics say 6 marriages per 1,000 end in divorce. I personally filed for divorce after 17 years of marriage. It has been a journey to move forward because your life completely changes and it is as if you are pressing reset on being an adult. It was critical for me to have a support system. 3 very beautiful, inspirational, and very important women in my life shared their stories with me and will share with you all today. We all draw strength from one another's testimony. Tune in to learn that you are not alone and everybody has a story to tell. Today, I have some very special women in my life joining me for the podcast for Do You Want to Be Made Whole? I have started this podcast because there have been some things in my life that have been a part of my journey that have shaped me into the person that I am today. And the podcast is not only talking about being made whole mentally, physically, spiritually, all aspects of your life, and also overcoming, healing, moving on, going forward, achieving your goals, reaching for your dreams. And so what I wanted to do today was bring on some very special loves of my life that helped me in my journey as it came to me getting over being divorced. And they are what I call, what they are known as my BG4L. BG4L. I'm going to allow them to introduce themselves and we are just going to have a freely flowing, candid conversation about divorce. Okay, so whoever wants to go.
Well, my name is Babette Simonton.
Hello.
Amy.
I'm Debbie King, better known as A. Debbie.
And I'm Cassandra Collins, and I'm known as Shani's nanny.
Welcome. Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Happy to be here. Happy to be here.
Thank you.
Yes. So you all, as I said, very instrumental, very critical part of my journey from being a young girl, most thinking, Babby, you may have known me all my life, and Nanny,
yes,
and you and Aunt Debbie, not too far behind. I met you out when I was a little girl.
35 years.
Into a teenager. I think, Nanny, we met when I was 12, if I'm not mistaken. And so I remember, you know, I thought you all were beautiful women. I thought, you know, you all had such wonderful lives. And I still do, you know. And over time, over the years, our lives have changed. Me personally, you all know that I was married for 17 years and had 4 children, and our story ended in divorce. And it wasn't easy. And so a lot of nuggets that you all gave me helped with getting through that, because at one while I just didn't think that anything was going to get any better. But time heals, and so I'm thankful for that. And so do you all want to maybe just kind of share your story, whatever you're comfortable to share in your situations of healing from divorce? What were some things that you did?
Well, I'll go first because I also was in a marriage, and when my definition is always when it was good, and when it wasn't, it wasn't.
Right.
And we were married for 17, well, we got divorced in 17 and a half years. Mm-hmm. We had raised all of our children. We have 3 children together. And our youngest was in high school, and it was like, okay, enough is enough. We're not growing together.
Mm-hmm.
And my situation was a little different. We were mutual.
Mm-hmm.
It was a mutual understanding that this is, you know, we got together when we were teenagers.
Right.
So he was my first love. He was my first everything. And so we grew together.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would say in the part of growing, we started growing apart.
Mm-hmm.
And looking at life situations differently. And different things were done. Infidelity was, you know, one of the causes.
Mm-hmm.
And that was, you know, But also, I'm not going to be one-sided. I was dishonest with money matters.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so it was different things, you know, at different times in the marriage. You know, it was not all he did all of this and I did all that. You know, no matter that's what the church people thought,
right,
you know,
right.
Everybody wanted to put everything, you know, was she not this, is she not that? And, you know, and so I allowed that to, you know, cloud my judgment with things and make me feel unworthy, you know, and things of that nature. And so it was very, I'm going to say it was hard, but it was doable. And at that time, you know, when you're going through something like that, I mean, like I said, he was my first everything.
Yeah.
And so that was a big loss for me. But, you know, like I said, we grew up together. So we went through, I mean, I saw marriage in a whole different way. I didn't do marriage as my parents because, oh, we were very verbal with each other. We would have big cuss-out fights. I mean, you know, I'm just being honest, you know, and I know he's a pastor, so you know how pastors do, they tell everything, so
right.
I'm sure, you know, this has been said plenty of times, you know, over the pulpit, when he's just, you know, testifying, you know, so, oh no, we, and I, you know, I can't, you know, some people say, well, you see that as you're growing up. I didn't see any of that when I was growing up. My dad was not disrespectful to my mom, as in like cursing her out or things like that. But, oh my goodness, we would get into it. And I'm going to cuss him. He going to cuss me. And I ain't going to stop talking. And I'm going to get my point across. And so got to, you know, be verbal.
Yeah.
Abuse, as I would say. And emotional. Definitely emotional abuse. And where you would, your self-esteem is gone and, you know, and different things. Cause I'm sure he probably felt that way sometimes also, you know, but he would pull it together for the cause of the purpose because we were both church workers. So, you know, we put, I mean, we could just be had a knockdown drag out in the car. Then we get out the car. Okay.
Yes.
And you got to go
put on the face.
Oh, hi. How you doing, sister? And how you doing, pastor? You know, brother and reverend, and you got to just put the face on. And I did that for so long. And one day it was like, no,
enough.
This is not us.
Yeah.
This is a facade.
I agree.
I'm tired of being a facade. And I'm sure it is exhausting.
Very.
It's exhausting.
Yes.
You know, putting on the face and the, you know, the ways for other people to see people who didn't even have anything to do, because, but they'll try to make themselves, you know, were they in it, but that was not my life.
Yeah.
And your children are looking at this and they're seeing it.
Right.
And they're feeling it. And you think you're staying together for your children, and that's
not a good idea.
I learned that.
Not a good idea.
So I'll stop right there and let somebody else jump in.
Okay. Thank you for sharing that. I'm going to piggyback off of that after I hear from our other two.
Okay. Bebby, you want to go first?
Yeah, I'll go next. Well, I didn't know my husband. I knew him through a mutual friend of ours. He lived in California.
Okay.
And I just heard a lot about him, and I'm sure he heard a lot about me. And I was traveling, you know, I travel a lot. So I was traveling back and forth to California, and that's how I met him.
Okay.
And so we start dating, traveling back and forth, me traveling more there than he did. He was going through a divorce. I've never been married. And, you know, I just heard some of his stories. And so we just connected. So we connected. We got married. You know, he knew I was a traveler. So at the time we were doing everything together, traveling, doing whatever, just having a nice life.
Okay.
I didn't have my kids from him. He had a son and I had two children. So we just bonded our families together and just, you know, everywhere I go, we were together. And then, but he didn't go to church. So, but I did, and, you know, that was not a problem. Nothing really serious, but then he'd just stopped doing things. He stopped traveling. Then he stopped being intimate. He just stopped. And I didn't know the problem. And then everybody thought I was single. So I just said, oh, but I'm married, but living single. That's what I used to tell people.
Okay.
I'm married, I'm just living single. And it was a problem for me. And I kept asking him, you know, and he never said anything. You know, he was so meek and mild. He didn't say a lot. But then it got to the point that I couldn't take it anymore.
Yeah.
And so I told him, divorce. It was neither one of us went out of our marriage and did anything wrong. It's just he took himself out of the marriage and I didn't understand it. Mm-hmm. So when I said divorce, he would start going to church. He wanted to go to counseling. We went to some counseling and he wouldn't say anything. And I'm like, how is this helping if I'm the one pouring out?
Right.
And you're not.
Right.
And I'm like, I need to know what's going on with you because I was a Bible wife. Whatever you did, I said, we were doing it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But because I love to be married.
Yeah.
And I just couldn't take it anymore when I was living married, but living a single life. I start traveling alone and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I went head on and went forth with the divorce because I saw that things were not changing.
Mm-hmm.
He was changing things to make me happy, but I'm like, but you didn't go to church. So I was fine with that because he wasn't a heathen or anything, but that wasn't his life.
It was becoming something
I just
he
wanted
wasn't.
Him mm-hmm. to... Huh?
He was becoming
I just wanted
something
him to
he
come
wasn't.
Back to mm-hmm. the marriage.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And, you know, and be himself, but he didn't want to do that. And that was a hard problem for me because, you know, when I got the divorce, I feel like a failure.
Yeah.
I really feel like a failure. And then I had to think about it. No, it takes two. So I didn't fail myself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We failed each other.
Yeah.
But I didn't really understand why. Mm-hmm. And that was my question. Why? You know, what happened? But I had to move on.
Mm-hmm.
We're the best of friends still because, you know, that's the only grandfather my kids know and everything. And he helped raise my children. But you never know what's going on with someone else. And, you know, you never know what happened between his first marriage that made him feel this, the way he was feeling in his second marriage. And that's what I kept telling him. We can't bring things into a marriage that you hold on from the first or the second or whatever.
Yeah.
You got to wipe the slate clean and come in anew.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
You know, because I'm a different person. I'm not that person. You know, you were married first. So I don't know what really happened, but, you know, it's no love lost.
Mm-hmm.
Me and his family still communicate. And they'll tell anybody, no, that's my sister-in-law. And I'll tell anybody, that's my family.
Yeah.
But, you know, and you never know what's going on. But I say communication is the key. You have to keep it. Because if not, it's not a marriage.
That's
and you have to... You just have to keep the communication open. But anyway, I love being married, but it didn't happen for me just yet. But who knows? God is in control.
That's right.
He is, girl.
That's right. That's right. Thank you for sharing.
That's the roller coaster ride right here.
Okay.
I have been married 3 times.
Okay.
The first time I got married, I was married for 1.5 years. And I was just young and wanted to be married.
Yes.
That's all. I wanted to be married because I didn't want to be seen in it.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. That's all I can say. So second marriage, we were together for 28 years.
Okay.
18 of those years were married. 10 of those years were dating.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Now, my first husband, I didn't know him, but maybe a year before I married him.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought, I'm not marrying again, no time soon, because this is not going to work. You know, my first husband was just led a very sheltered life, as did I.
Mm-hmm.
And so we didn't know a whole lot about life when we got together.
Okay.
My second husband taught me a lot about life.
Gotcha. Okay.
The 28 years. Right. But I always seem to, you know, and then my third husband, I forgot, my third husband, I think I married him out of gratitude.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Because I went through a hard time after my second divorce.
Mm-hmm.
A very hard time financially, mentally, spiritually, all of physically. I went through a hard time.
Mm-hmm.
And so I lived a very entitled and privileged life coming up.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I didn't learn about not having and not being able to do until after I divorced my second husband. Well, I separated from my second husband.
Mm-hmm.
Prior to that, you know, I had never been. So now here I am in my 40s, having to learn how to budget.
Yeah. Yeah.
At this time, I have two children, two girls at that.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, girls that's, Jenny, you know, girls that's hair, that's nails. Sister, you know.
Yeah.
Both sisters, y'all know. You know, girls are far more expensive than boys. I was praying to the Lord for four boys. He gave me two girls, and I shut it down. I'm like, yeah. Okay, Lord, I get the message. Thank you very kindly.
Yes.
Right, but. I think I married my third husband out of obligation. I mean, well, out of gratitude, to mm-hmm. be honest, mm-hmm. because, and that's why when I changed my name to, and I didn't put these pieces together until within the last year or so. Let's get that straight. Uh-huh. We were married for 10 years.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And so we're going through the divorce right now.
Okay.
But this husband, I'm 11 years older than.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And so he wanted me to sit at home, take care of his ailing mother, and just be, I felt like a servant. I felt like the nurse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't feel like a wife. I didn't feel entitled to anything, including him,
mm-hmm.
because he would, you know, now my second husband, we got divorced. I lost my husband to alcohol.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
He was an alcoholic. He's been clean and sober now for 12 years.
Mm-hmm.
Great awesome. For him. I'm happy for him. Yes. Awesome. I'm so happy for him. Yes. Awesome. And he's in church and he's, you know, back in church and doing everything, you mm-hmm. know. And I, you know, I said, well, that marriage was to get me to greater pure light. That was 35 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, we good, you know, we're still good. And this last husband just, I don't know if he thought because I was older than him, I was going to, because when he met me, you know, I was all lively and fun. I don't know, maybe he thought I was going to tire out or old out or something. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Or maybe
calm down. I don't know
what he thought. But y'all.
He didn't know nothing about
that
you.
That is a perfect statement. Exactly. He's like, oh, you too much. And you too that. I'm like, no, you're too. So when I hear women talking about the self-care and, you know, you fall into that hole
mm-hmm.
because you're so busy taking care of everybody else.
Yes.
I'm a nurturer. I raised my brother and my sister mm-hmm. from 7 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And this is no exaggeration. I mean, actually, if my mom said something and I said something, you know, when my mom told my sister something, she'll say, is that right, sister?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I raised them. You know what I'm saying? I took care of my grandmother, helped take care of my grandmother. I took care of my, you know, my family members or whatever. And so I took care of his mom just like that and his dad, you know, whole bad situation. But at the end of the day, you wanted me to change into something that I'm not.
Yeah.
And that was the last straw. It's like, okay. So, you know, when he saw I wouldn't change, he started accusing me of other things.
Okay.
And so it was, you know, everywhere I go, everything I do, number one, those two, like Bebe said, by myself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, well, I mean, you know me, I'm like, okay, well, why am I in a relationship? Why am I married? If I have to do everything by myself, I have to pay my own way, I have to be, you know, then why am I married to you?
Yeah. What's the point?
Yeah, what, you know, and I'm cooking for you. I'm cleaning up for you. I'm taking care of your mom. You know, I'm taking care of you. You know, and it's never enough. You know, and I'm like, well, okay, so I'm busy taking care of you. You busy taking care of you, and nobody's taking care of me.
Hmm.
I'm left
you.
Out.
Yeah,
and so now at 65, I'll be 66 next month. I am trying to get back to me. I'm trying to find Debbie.
Hmm.
Because I almost lost her.
Yeah.
I didn't know who and what she was supposed to be because I was continuously being told that wasn't a good thing. Who I am was not a good thing.
Hmm.
It's not a good thing to be. You know, I like to dress up. I like to smell good. I like to look good. I like to laugh. I like to make other. I try every day to make somebody smile. But that I was made to feel like that was a bad thing.
Hmm.
And so now I have to get back to, but smiling is what I do.
Yeah.
It's what I love. You know, I love to smile at people because I feel they're, you know, some people are startled by it
And so, you know, it feels good to say, seem like, oh, somebody smiled at me today.
Right, right.
But I was told that that was a bad thing because I was flirting. Huh. And, you know, trying to be with people. Yeah, so that part. But I am single and I'm ready to mingle.
Okay.
It took me a while. It took me a while, you know, but I'm ready.
Okay, okay. So,
but you gotta accept me like I am.
Listen, one thing I thank all of you for sharing your story, because one thing I just kind of made a list of things that I heard you all say that I feel that we as women can relate to. Feeling mm-hmm. unworthy. You were with mm-hmm. the love of your life. You didn't understand. Yep. You felt like a failure. There was a lack of communication. Marrying out of obligation. Changing into something you're not. You lost yourself, who was taking care of you. All of these things I feel that we can relate to as women. And not necessarily just because we are women, but men have these feelings as well for whatever their reasons are and what it is that they expected from us. And, right. you know, we didn't meet that, you know, for some reason we didn't agree. We didn't see eye to eye. And ended up ending things. So my question for you all is, in a short version, if you can, what would be something that you would share with someone that you know that's getting married for the first time? I'm not going to even say a young lady, you know, because you could get married at any age and, you know, at any given time. So what would be something, yes, what would be something that you would share with someone that is getting married for the first time? If you could press reset, what would you do differently?
I'll say definitely communication is yes. definitely the key.
Communication.
That's like number one. And that's for anyone who's getting married, remarried. The rest of my story is that was husband number one.
Mm-hmm.
And even though it did not go into a life, of you know, a lifetime, it was for that time, and we grew and we're the best of friends now. We go to things that our children have, that our grandbabies have, and we're friends. We came back to, we did full circle, we're friends now.
Mm-hmm.
And after that, after we broke up, 4 years later, I met my second husband.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a total different life.
Mm-hmm.
And, Ricky was definitely my soulmate.
Yeah.
That's my name I give him.
Mm-hmm.
And but nobody would never take that away. He was who he was. And I can say he had definitely a perfect.
Yeah.
Damn near perfect.
Yes. Yeah.
But God called him home. And so I thought that was my final act. But I have to tell you.
Yes.
God gave me a grand finale.
Yes. Fresh wind.
Yes.
My way. And if he who finds a wife finds a good thing, then he definitely found me.
Yes.
And we just happened to be at the right place. So it's never too late to start over it, because you never know what God has in store for you.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot have never told me that I would have another husband. Mm-hmm. And God was like, okay, we're going to see when you see this.
Yeah, he's going to show you.
Uh-huh.
Well, and he did.
Yes.
He is
just great. And so I would tell anybody, and we have great, great relationship, and it's all because of communication and peace. Don't let nobody steal your peace. I don't want to take up all the time, but I had to brag on my baby.
Yes. I'm bragging on him too. Me too.
But sis, I would say to that, you know what, that's very important what you said about being whole.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure that, you know, you're whole.
Right.
You know, we get so concerned about the other people's issues,
yeah.
or the other person's issues, that we forget. We have some too.
That's right.
We have issues too. We have stuff to, I can't tell you that everything I did in one, two, or three marriages was right.
Right. Right.
I did some questionable things, mm-hmm. but at the end of the day, you know, I wasn't whole.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I care too much about what other people. Now, that's one thing. My second husband, the one we were together 28 years, the reason I was with him from the whole beginning is that he made me feel good about me.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
He made me feel like I was the most beautiful and the fine. And, you know, that's when I was in a size two. I was the finest thing that ever walked this earth.
And you are.
And, you know. And he, oh, yeah, you know, he agreed with me. That's yeah. why we got along.
Yeah.
I thought I was all of that, and he did too.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? But at the end of the day, it just, oh, okay. At the end of the day, it was a good, you got to be whole.
That's
you
right.
You got to be whole.
That's right.
And my grandmother used to say, too, this is my last suggestion. My grandmother always taught us two things. Never let a man, when you know, this is before you at the wedding point, I'm sure. Never let a man tell you that you can't go see your mama, your parents, your family, or that you can't go to church.
Yeah.
If you take caution, if you run into that man, he's controlling.
Don't change who you are.
That's right. It. Don't change who you are. He'll try to separate you from anybody and everybody before you get to that stage, by the way. So, you know, just keep your eyes and ears open as well as your heart.
I love it. Thank you. Thank you. Ain't baby.
My thing is, like my sister said, communication is the key. You can't lose yourself. You have to have some me time. Both of you all have to have some me time. Mm-hmm. But then make sure that you have that togetherness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then keep everybody out of your business.
Ooh,
nobody should be in your business but you.
Yeah.
And like I say, do what's best for you and your marriage. Can't nobody tell you, oh, child, I wouldn't do that. They're not in that marriage. That's
right.
Somebody that would like
that's
to be in the marriage.
Right.
Yes.
And you got to keep them out of your marriage. You've got to stay whole and stay true to one another. But talking is the key, because when you shut up, you don't know what's going on. You don't know how to fix it.
Yeah.
Right.
That's right.
You don't know how to fix it. So communication is the key, but keeping that door closed from everybody else, that's the other key. That's the only way you're going to make it. And make sure you have time for yourself, but then always have date nights. Always refresh. Always. Refresh.
Yes. Refresh.
Yes. Yes.
I love this so much. I wish we had more time, but I want to thank you all for joining with me today, because there's someone.
Can I say one more thing?
Please do. Yes.
I must say, we are so very proud of you.
Oh, yes.
Thank you.
Yes.
You, I've been in your life since you were like 16, and I have seen your ups and your downs and your ins and your outs, and you are doing a magnificent job raising your
baby. Yes, you are, baby girl. Yes, you are.
Just everything. And it's, you know, you always have some days. Does not go always be good days, but your overall, I'm just so proud of you for opening up. You're helping so many people. You don't even understand how many people you're helping.
And encouraging people to do what you do.
It doesn't. And what so I much. Always say, wisdom is not taught. Wisdom is shared. What you've went through, you are empowering women and men, not just women.
Yeah.
You're empowering people.
Yes.
So keep doing it. Don't wear yourself out, because you got to keep your mind
keep
going.
Your mind right. Yes.
So replenish yourself.
Yes.
But keep doing this, you know, as much as you can.
Thank you so much.
Yes, awesome job.
Thank you.
And just remember, nothing beats a failure.
But a try.
But a doer.
That's right.
That's right. So if things don't go right this time, our recording didn't come out or whatever, just remember, we always here. We'll be back.
Okay.
You know, it's always a way to fix stuff. It's always, you know, unfixable.
That's
nothing's unfixable. And so, you know, just remember that. And okay, this didn't work. Let's move on.
Yes.
Don't dwell on the failures. Dwell on the successes.
That's
because there are many in your life.
Yes. And that's why you all are my BG4L.
Yes, you do. Daughter of Zion.
Yes. Yes, indeed. I love y'all so much.
We love you too.
So much. Love you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. So our takeaways are communication, refresh, have your own peace, and you gotta be whole.
Life can be even more beautiful when you are in a loving and thriving relationship. You've heard the stories of strong women who married their first love, one who was married three times, one widowed, remarried, and one who married and divorced once. Prioritize yourself as a whole person first and take these words of wisdom. Apply what fits your needs and be the best you for you before you can be anything to someone else. Heal before you commit your life to another person. Prayer, support groups, counseling, ministry, journaling, reading are just some suggestions to start. Let your pain be a light in your sky. Do you want to be made whole? Love y'all.